Dear Father, we thank you for this glorious morning. It is a gift that you have given us. Another opportunity to sing your praise. Another opportunity to just glorify your name. Another opportunity to tell you how much we love you. Another opportunity while it's still 2023 to have that foretaste of glory divine. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We dedicate this time to you just for your glory and honor. We could have been in any place doing our own thing, but we're here to praise you. We're here to hear your word. We're here because we love you and we know that you love us. We pray for 2024, Lord, that in that it will be a harvest year. We pray that you put in our hearts and our mouths your word, Lord, to share with this world in the coming year. We pray that family members who have been away from you in 2024, they will come back to you, Lord. We pray in 2024, Lord, those who have been away from the fellowship because of many different factors, that they will come back to you. And we will see them here again. We pray in 2024, Lord, that your word will go out through a whole planet so that that last stubborn person could come in, Lord. The fullness of the Gentiles will come in so that we can see you again face to face. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Power and love as we sing home. shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing the holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. For unto us a child is born, holy, holy, holy. For unto us a child is born, holy, holy, holy.
Lord, Terry, I might pull out a Christmas song in July. Who knows? praise God.
For we belong.
Peter. You know, when we pray and sing these songs, angels are looking at us.
Amen.
And they are in wonder at the redemption of us. This week, I don't know if this happened to you. This happened to me this week. I got a small little glimpse of the just the wickedness that's in the flesh, that's in me, that the Lord redeemed. It's not pretty when the Lord every once in a while just shows a mirror. It's painful. But it makes redemption that much more glorious. Thank you, Lord. Amazing grace. How sweet this sound.
That's
true. Save the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now was blind, but now I see. Thank you.
You are Lord over all the earth.
more, brother.
You are the Lord of the earth. You are the Lord of all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth.
One last time.
You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth.
Great. We all stand, please, for scripture reading. As I was reading over this, I was like, wow. A scripture reading from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Stop right there. Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow. I could stop right there.
Good to see you all here. I hope that y'all had a Merry Christmas. It was a good time we had last week. I'm glad that you all were able to join us for our lunch after the service. And we're getting ready to start a new year, like it or not. But you know what? Our message this morning is going to be focused on blessing the Lord no matter what the year looks like. You know, I've spent a lot of time over these last few years, the Lord had just really put it on my heart to prepare us for what's coming. You know, the church has been kind of asleep for a long time, and so the Lord has just laid on my heart, you know, we need to be awake. We need to be prepared for what may be coming our way. We don't know when persecution is going to arise in the same way it's risen around the world, but it's inevitable. If you read the Bible, you know persecution is coming. And so we focused on that a lot over the last few years. And this year, as we come into this new year, starting tomorrow or midnight, whenever you know, I'm not usually up anymore to see it. But when we see it, we know that the Lord has everything in the palm of his hand. So we can do one of two things. We can come into worrying about the new year, or we can come into rejoicing about the new year. Not necessarily about what's coming in the world, but who's coming when he returns. So our title this morning is Bless the Lord. And I want to take this morning, being the eve of the new year, to talk about how we interact with God in prayer, in study, in our overall relationship with him, because that's what this is. This is a relationship. This is not a religion. We call it a religion because we do it religiously, but it's a relationship that we have with Jesus. And in our church culture today, there's been such a focus on blessings from God. Bless me, O God. I want your blessings. I need your blessings. I need this. I need that. I want this. I want that. Give me, give me, give me. The culture we live in, it's all there. Well, it's gotten into the church as well. But I want you to know this morning that we can bless God. We can bless God. Rather than always seeking blessings from him, he desires us to bless him. We're going to go through that this morning. It's seen in Scripture, and we see it in some older worship hymns. Some of the new ones, new contemporary worship, a lot of it is still about me. But there's some good ones. You have to dig for them sometimes. Filter through the bad to get to the good. But it's there. When you really search for it, we can sing in worship. We can praise in our worship. And it's about God, and it should be. So this morning, I want to talk about it. I want to talk about blessing God, not just receiving blessings from Him. And I want us to think about our relationship with God and how our praise and our thanksgiving blesses Him. So, Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You for this opportunity that we have to worship You. We thank You, Lord, that we have come through this past year and we're heading into a new one. Unless You return today, likely You can. But, Lord, we expect that we will wake up in the morning and we'll be in 2024. And it will be a year, Lord, that we need to commit ourselves unto You. A year that we need to be turning to You. A year that we need to be worshiping You and praising You and blessing You. I pray that You would give us this morning that desire, a refocus, a reshift, if you will, to keep an eye upon You, not upon the things of this world, not upon the troubles of this world, not upon the news in this world, but upon You, Your Word, and Your Spirit. We ask for You to open our eyes to that very thing. In Jesus' name, amen. We just read Psalm 103, 1 through 5, but I'm going to read it again. And pardon our computer glitches this morning earlier. Some of the screens weren't bringing up things that they should have, but that's okay. Technology, it's not always our friend. But we do appreciate it when it works right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The New International Version of verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul." To come to the Lord with praise and thanksgiving blesses God. It's a blessing to Him to hear our praise, to hear our songs. That's why we sing, by the way. We call it worship. It's time of worship, but our relationship with God is our time of worship. The songs, however, are part of the worship. It's not all of worship, but it's the part that we're blessing God vocally in a corporate setting. We're singing praise to God. We're singing glory to the Lord. We're lifting up the name of Jesus. We're recognizing in song when we sing and we praise the glory of who He is, not only in us, but who He is, period. The Creator of all things. We bless Him when we recognize this. And in our world today, it's hard to get away from that. It's easy to get away from that. It's easy for us to start focusing on the problems, the circumstances, the news, the government, the lack of government, too much government. It's easy for us to start looking at all these things, and it's easy to get, I won't say depressed as a Christian, but pretty despondent sometimes. Because we just say, how do we get here? Well, I can tell you exactly how we got here. It's very simple, S-I-N. That's how we got here. Our Constitution in the United States was put together to set up things in place to guard us against the things that are happening now because they've disregarded the Constitution. Why do they disregard it? Because man has messed it up. Man messes everything up. From day one, man has messed everything up. And so here we are now in a place to where we need to come to where we're focusing not on what man has messed up, but what God is putting back together. And that's in the relationship that we have with Him. So we come with praise and thanksgiving. It blesses Him to acknowledge who He is, what He's done, even in the midst of difficult times and seasons, gives us the strength to stand firm. And He Himself is the power that gives us the strength to stand. And then we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We have the written Word of God that we can go to draw from, to feed our spirit, to awaken us closer to God. This is what we should be doing. It not only sustains us, but it actually then brings peace and joy when we're going through the difficult things. We're not going to find peace and joy in the news, by the way. We're not going to find peace and joy within ourselves trying to figure out how to fix the problem. We're just going to make it worse. We're going to find our peace. We're going to find our joy when we're in the relationship, praising Him, studying His Word, seeking Him in prayer, and being in His presence. That's where we're going to find our joy. That's where we're going to find our peace. Now, I personally believe that one of the reasons that we're not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit is because we're not walking consistently with the heart of praise and thanksgiving. We're not continually walking in praise. And I'll be honest with you, this finite mind can't stay focused long enough on anything to stay consistently. And God knows that. That's why Jesus came. But at the same time, as we grow in the Lord, it should be more of a discipline of the Christian walk to walk in praise and thanksgiving rather than getting bogged down in the circumstances of life, the doom and gloom in the daily reports that we get constantly. But as believers, none of these things should distract us from who we are in Christ or who He is in us. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." And verse 6 is very important. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, if you put that in specific order, and it is in order for a reason. Number one, put your anxiousness aside. Don't find yourself anxious for anything. "But in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, then you make your requests known to God." See, if we come to God, and this is what happens a lot of times as believers, we come to God with prayers and supplications. "Lord, help me. Lord, fix it. Lord, take care of them. Fix them. Lord, get rid of this person. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. I want this. I want that." And this is our supplications that we find ourselves many times in the presence of God. But what He tells us here, it says, first off, don't be anxious about all this stuff. Be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and supplications, you come with thanksgiving. The heart of praise, the heart of thanksgiving, is so important in a relationship with God, because if you don't have it, you're lacking the ability to really hear from the Lord when He speaks, because the anxiousness pushes His voice aside. The anxiousness causes us to not meditate on the Word. The anxiousness, the smothering effect of it, it just keeps us out of relationship. Praise and thanksgiving are essential in our walk with the Lord. But going back to verse 7 in Philippians 4, it says, after we come to Him with thanksgiving and we make our requests, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. See, we can't understand the things of God. We can't understand when He blows in all of a sudden and we're having peace in the midst of a firestorm. We don't understand how that works. But when you're in a relationship with God, this is what happens. It comes. And it says He will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're guarded. We are guarded. We're protected. Our hearts and minds are guarded in the Lord. So again, praise and thanksgiving, they're essential our walk with the Lord. Nehemiah understood this. Going back to Nehemiah 12:31, he was in the process. Actually, the walls were already built. They had already done. This is the completion of the wall in 12:31. So he says, "So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large Thanksgiving choirs." Wow. A lot of singers. One went to right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. So he took these choirs and he positioned one here. And then we go to Nehemiah 12:38 and it says, the other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way. And I was behind them with half of the people on the wall going past the Tower of the Ovens as far as the broad wall. God had moved mightily. If you go and read the story, I think it was like 56 days they rebuilt that wall. And people were heckling them. People were tormenting them. They faced opposition on every turn, even from some of their own people. They faced grumbling. They faced complaining. But they pushed through, and we can see that he had the heart of praise here as they have completed this project. But they have to go back and look. He prayed and praised God from the beginning. It wasn't just at the end. That's the easy time to praise. But Nehemiah 1, 5 through 6, here's his prayer, how it begins. He says, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you, you observe and love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now. He came recognizing the awesome power of who God is in this prayer. That's praise. He was praising God as he's beginning to go into this venture of rebuilding the wall. He knew the God he served, and he praised him before, during, and after this massive undertaking of rebuilding the wall. You have to understand, the wall was in rubble. They didn't have very many big stones, but they built it. They rebuilt the wall. Now, I don't know what it is that you're facing in your life currently. Everyone has a different wall, if you will, either that they're rebuilding. In some cases, we're having to tear some down, because we build a lot of walls in our hearts that God wants removed so that he can come in. See, there's a difference between building the God that wall tell that building the wall that God tells us to build versus building the wall that keeps him out. And the human mind, the fleshly side, it's always building walls. When we get wounded, we build a wall. When we get hurt, we build a wall. When we get angry, we build a wall. Notice the commonality here. It's the human emotion. When the human emotions are in control, they build walls to protect themselves so they don't get hurt again. We don't want to go through that again. We don't want to trust again. We don't want to be around people sometimes again, because people will hurt you. And it's been said, you're wounded in relationships. But it's also been said that you're healed through relationship, because God does the healing through his people when his people are listening to him. So you go through these things and you build these walls. Well, I don't know what you're facing right now. It may be huge. It may be a mountain in front of you. It may be a storm or a wave coming at you. It may be financial. It may be emotional, relational. It may be physical. We've seen all of that in this last year. We've seen a lot of this stuff going on over this last year, even in this small body. But whatever it is, we're told to praise him and be thankful in the midst of it. Now, I'm not sitting here and telling you, praise God for it. Thank you for this horrible thing that I'm dealing with. And we don't go looking for another trial. Lord, bring it on. I want another trial. The last one, it's over with. I need another good one so I can get closer. No, that's not the heart we need. But what we do is we say, Lord, whatever is in my life, whatever you allow in my life, whatever you bring in my life, if it's not comfortable for me, if it's a very difficult situation, teach me to praise you in the midst of it, because that's where I'm going to find the peace and the strength to get through it. If I'm not able to do that, then it's just going to be one miserable venture. And everybody around me is going to be miserable too, because I'm going to see to it. That's the human flesh. That's how it works. Now, the new year is always a time of reflection. We look at the past, and we look forward to a new start. But rather than making a new year resolution, let's make a new life resolution. A new life resolution. And this is not making a list of things we need to do to please God. It's not making a list of things we need to do to make ourselves better. None of those are going to last past February or March. They never do. Don't buy an exercise equipment today. If you got one for Christmas, go ahead and sell it. Get your money back. Because by March, it's going to be a good clothes rack. And you're going to say, what in the world was I thinking? Or whoever got it for you can say, I got that for you and you don't even use it. I can't believe you don't even use that good gift I got you. Well, it's time to re-gift, isn't it? Re-gift it to somebody else. The truth is, if any of these things worked, they'd put themselves out of business. If all the diet plans worked, there would be no more need for diet plans. See, what we have to come to the grip of understanding is that because we're in a sinful mind and a sinful body, we're going to constantly struggle with weaknesses. We're going to constantly struggle with lack of discipline. We're going to constantly struggle with the very thing that we can't have that we want. And it's going to continue to eat at us. Or in my case, I eat at it. The Little Debbie Swiss cake rolls. Now, I did this before and mentioned that, and I come in here and there was a box of Little Debbie Swiss cake rolls sitting on the podium. Don't you do it. Bring two, a double blessing is what we're talking about here. Okay? I mean, I like the honey buns too. Anything with Little Debbie on it? No, seriously, don't do that. I struggle enough when I go to the grocery store. I don't need any help. But the point is that if I make the decision that I'm not going to eat that today, it may last today, but tomorrow's coming. And when I wake up in the morning, first thing I want to do is find it. If I know it's around, I'll find it. We've tried hiding things in our house before. It don't work. I will find it. But they won't last. So what we need to do, rather than making this huge grand gesture, is we simply need to believe in who we serve. Diligently seek Him and praise Him. That doesn't seem that difficult, does it? It's not like we're going out of our way to create this whole environment of change. It's simple things. See, the thing about it is, and this is a real truth of a relationship with Jesus, it is so simple. We have overcomplicated it. We've made it, oh, you got to do it at this time. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, spend that hour in prayer. If you don't, you're not right with God. Well, I ain't right. Because I don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't communicate with a flea at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't think at 4 o'clock in the morning. My body doesn't wake up before 10. So don't get me at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I don't ever stand up here and say, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do it here. You do what you do in your relationship with God when it's right with you and God. Let Him bring you into a place. It may be sitting in the car for a while. It may be sitting in traffic when you really need God the most. But what it is it's you and God. That's what it is. It's you and God. And you and God need to get together at what works so that He's able to communicate the way you can hear Him, when you can hear Him, how you can hear Him, and then respond to Him with praise and thanksgiving. It's a very simple thing. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, what about all the works? It's impossible. But I did this for God. Didn't please Him. What pleases God? Believing in Him. Believing in who He is. Having faith. Because it goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God rewards you when you diligently seek Him. When you're praising Him, when you're thanking Him, when you're meditating upon His Word, when you're desiring Him, He is being blessed. And what does He do? He then blesses you back. Now, it's not a give to get. It's a give because it's what we should do. It's a reciprocal blessing. He is going to bless you. Now, it may not be every way you think you want to be blessed. You may not get the answer to your prayer the way you wanted it. It may not come to you exactly as you pictured it out. I mean, how many of us have done that? We prayed for a specific thing, and in our minds, we got it all figured out how God's going to do it. Oh, this is it. He's going to move right here. It's going to sweep across. Then I'm boom, 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 all these things. And the next thing you know, something happens. At first, we're like, well, God, I don't understand. But then we see how God saw way outside of the realm of what we see, and the blessing was so much greater than what we even could process in our own mind. But it wasn't what we thought. If God gave us everything we prayed for, how messed up would we be? But He gives us what we need when we need it, and He blesses us with His presence. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him, and bless His name. Psalm 147, 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. So we've got to get a harp up here, Johnny. We'll just call your guitar a harp. This is harp. Harp the Johnny plays his thing. We represent a holy, righteous God in a fallen world. That's who we are. We represent Him in this fallen world. If we don't praise Him, what does the world see in us that's different than what they already have? If we're not praising God, there's nothing sadder than a grumbling, complaining Christian. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 10:6 through 12, and he was speaking of Israel. He was speaking of their history, went through all of these things, and he said, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. But then it gets interesting. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all those things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We see all the results of what happens when you're God's people and you choose to grumble and complain and go after your own thing, rather than praising Him with a heart of thanksgiving. And you can read it. These things happen to them because they refuse to worship God for who He is. And then Jude, he writes about this, about those who complain and grumble. Jude 14:7-17, it says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and for all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking in according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, get back to the foundation of the gospel. Quit trying to be what you're not. Quit trying to flatter people with your words. Quit trying to be all of this big thing, but you're still grumbling and complaining. Why? Because you haven't received your blessing. I haven't received my blessing. Wah, wah, wah. And we have preachers that stand up and preach about your blessing. That's all they preach about. God wants you to have it. Heard a guy one time. He stood up and said, pray for it. Ask for it. God, he wants you to have it anyway. Go ahead and ask for it. Really? Is that who God is? Wants you to give everything you want? That's not the God that the Bible talks about. It's not the God that we serve. Like I said, if God gave you everything you wanted, what a mess we'd be in. What he does is he gives us what we need. He gives us what we need, when we need, and how we need it. See, grumbling and complaining against the living, holy God of all creation brings futility in our thinking and brings us into darkness. Think about this. Our grumbling and complaining, rather than praising with thanksgiving, brings us from the light to the dark. It's taking us in the opposite direction of where we're supposed to go. We're children of light. We're to walk in the light. But grumbling and complaining pulls us into darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:14-16 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the relationship that God wants us to have with him. This is the place that we're to find ourselves when we say we're believers. Because when we're not, now I know this passage, 2 Corinthians 6:14-16, a lot of times people have used that regarding marriage, and it definitely applies regarding marriage. You should never be unequally yoked. Now, listen, I'm not saying that you don't find yourself in the situation. When you come to know the Lord and you're accepting the Lord, it doesn't mean that you leave that situation. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying because you've now accepted Jesus that you can move away from whatever your situation you're in. That's not at all what we're talking about here. What we're saying is when two people who are believers come together, they come together in the Lord, and their relationship is built together, and the foundation is in the Lord. But if you're an active, living, believing Christian, and you're single, do not unequally yoke with an unbeliever, because what will happen is you will be pulled, and you will be tugged upon to move away from your faith. And don't put yourself in that situation. That's what this is talking about in part. But also, it's talking about the way that we live our lives individually. If we're not praising God, if we're not thankful people, then we ourselves are becoming unequally yoked, because we are moving ourselves toward the darkness, the grumbling, the complaining, and God is not pleased with that. He can't move in that. Now you can say, well, God can do whatever he wants. He's God, yes. But he's also a holy God, and he's a sovereign God, and he's a loving God, and a merciful God, and he will not override your free will. He can. But then what does that make us? Robots. We're pre-programmed Christians. Nothing to it. It's all preset. You have no choice in the matter. Well, see, that's not what I read in the Bible. Now, you can get into the predestination versus free will. Yes on both. How does that work? It works this way, because of his foreknowledge. God has foreknowledge that we don't have. See, God doesn't live in the time bubble that we live in. So he lives in the past, the present, and the future, as if they were all right here and right now in our mindset today. And so, therefore, he knew before the creation of the world, and before our parents came together and we were conceived, he knew whether we would or would not. It doesn't mean that he chose that we would or would not. He knew what we were going to choose. So because of that foreknowledge, that's why he says we're predestined. But he doesn't force it. He doesn't make you a Christian and make somebody else a non-Christian. We have free will. And that's where they both come in together. It is both. There's no one side or the other on this topic. And it frustrates me to no end when you have these people who build these walls, and both of the men probably got a spanking when they got to heaven because they brought so much division in the church over this one topic. They just had to have an answer. They had to have a line. This is the danger, the big danger of overeducation when it comes to trying to get all your answers. You will never have all the answers. I don't care how much you learn. And the more you learn, the more you know you don't know. Because God is outside of man's learning. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will give you the peace and the understanding. Not saying you don't go to school. Just don't let the school be all there is. And don't let it be the one that tells you how you have to decide and make your... Because school, particularly today, even Christian schools aren't necessarily Christian schools. When you have certain Christian schools that are hiring liberal non-Christian professors, all in the name of diversity, well, you just don't go there. Just don't. We as believers, though, we do have a choice. Will we praise and worship God in the circumstances of our life? Or will we grumble and complain when things don't go our way? Now listen, we're going to go through seasons of change. When we're born, that's the season we're completely dependent upon our parents. And we're that way all the way up through adolescence, on up into middle school, and that's when we decide we want to push back. And then we get into high school, and we push a little harder, and we want to try to figure out, Mom and Dad really know what they're talking about? And so they start listening to everybody else's whatever. So it's important that even as parents that you keep your kids, don't let them be hanging out with too many crazy people. Because they'll come back with some crazy stuff. But at the same time, what's really funny is you'll be teaching them something and teaching them something and teaching them something. And about 10 years later, they come back and they tell you something like they never heard it before. Hey, I just heard this. Like, I've been telling you that for years. No, you haven't. Way it is with kids. But then it's time when we move away and we have to make decisions for ourselves and we have to decide what we're going to do. Listen, as a Christian, you don't have to have all the answers to your life put in place in that moment. You have to put your trust in God to say, God, direct my paths. Give me the wisdom to make the right path and then praise Him along that way. Don't find yourself doubtful of who you are in Christ because you don't know what you're supposed to do. Put your faith in God and He will show you. And He will give you those steps. Will we recognize His sovereignty in everything and know that what Romans 8:28 is true when He tells us that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose? Now, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. In my flesh and in my mind, I struggle with those words when I'm not comfortable. You said all things work together. Well, they ain't working too good right now. That's because I'm in the moment not seeing God in it. If I'm not praising God in it and recognizing He's moving in it, how am I going to see the good things? I'm going to miss them because I'm looking for my good things. And He says, all things work together for good. It's His good. It's His good in us and for us. Because for those who love God. Now see, this is a very important part of this whole message. What does it mean to love God? Because there will be many that say, oh, I love God, but I can go do whatever I want to and He's okay with it. Is that loving God? No, that's not loving God. That's loving yourself. And putting yourself in the place of God and saying you can tell God what He can accept and what He will accept and what He won't. But it says here, when you love God, meaning that you surrender to Him, You praise Him. You worship Him. You recognize Him as being the authority, the sovereign authority of all things. Then we can say that all things work together for the good. Because that's what He has for us, is His good in us to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Because it goes on to say, according to His purpose. Ooh, according to His purpose? Well, I got a purpose of my own. Well, put it down. I'm telling you, you don't want to fight that fight. It's not going to end well for you in your flesh. It will end well when you surrender. But you, why go through the beating? Why go through the whooping? Surrender now. Get the white flag. Give up that flesh. As we enter into this new year, let's make this new life resolution. Let us come to the Lord with a heart of praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, no matter what trials we face. May we spend more time blessing the Lord than asking for more blessings. Now, it's not wrong to pray for things. Don't get me wrong. If there's a need, pray for it. But before you pray for that need, come and bless the Lord. Bless Him with thanksgiving. Bless Him with praise. Get into that relationship. Get into that closeness with God. And then when we pray these things, not only will we be able to pray these things more efficiently, we'll pray what He wants us to pray. See, this is what's important too. Because sometimes the Scripture tells us, it says sometimes the Holy Spirit intervenes and prays things that can't be uttered by us because we don't know what to pray. We get to a place where, look, God, I don't even know how to pray for this situation. How do I pray for so-and-so? How do I pray for this thing? How do I pray for that thing? It's overwhelming. I don't even know how to pray. And God says, come to me, get into my presence. Give me praise. Give me thanksgiving. Give me glory. Worship me. And I will pray on your behalf when you can't pray, but I will also tell you how to pray. And then we're able to put words out there. In some cases, it may be a prayer language if you have that. God's given that to you. But whatever it is, He will give you that closeness to where you can pray, and you're praying then from a sense of closeness with God, not just a sense of desperation. There are times of desperation and moments of desperation, but even in that, when we come with the praise and thanksgiving, God flows through the entire prayer and draws us closer to Him. So rather than always making a list of what we need or what we think others need, and this comes also a very important part when we're praying for others. Praise God. Get into that relationship. Praise Him with thanksgiving in your heart, even before you pray for others, because you may not really know what the other one needs in prayer. You may know their circumstance, but to pray for deliverance from a circumstance when God has to work something in them in the midst of that, is that the right thing to pray? Seek God. Let Him direct your prayers. I say that about this country. It's very easy as a Christian today, oh Lord, restore this land. Go to the prayer, oh God, if my people who love me and pray me and turn from their wicked ways, you know the verses I'm talking about. People quote that all the time and they pray it all the time as though this is the answer for God to turn us back. What if we're in the time frame where He's not going to turn us back? Ooh, that doesn't sound right. You're wrong on that. We're Christians. We live in a Christian country. God's going to bless this land. God's going to take care of us. We're not going to see no... I'm sorry, that's not what the Word of God says. We're a people, a sinful people, like any other people in the world. Yes, we had a great constitution. Yes, we have a great country based on the fact of how it was built. But we're not still walking in the same way we walked when the foundation was laid. And we're in a place of danger right now in this world and in this nation. So how do we pray? Your will be done. Lord, your will be done. And then we need to be okay with His will. When you pray your will be done, you need to mean it. Your will be done. Now let me go back out here and fix this problem. No, we can't keep picking it up. We can't keep taking that mantle upon our own shoulders. It doesn't belong there. Jesus, He will carry it upon His shoulders. He already has. He put it on His shoulders when He went to the cross. And then He rose again. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. We have an advocate right now. And we have the Holy Spirit right now. Why should we not be thankful? Oh, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Maybe not. But God does. And if you're in Him, He is in you. And if He is in you, then you will have the ability to find peace in the middle of the difficult storm that you're in right now. That's who God is. And what a blessing we have in this relationship with Him. Now, I'm going to do something here that I don't normally do. So I'm going to tell you guys up front. I'm going to let you share. I'm going to give the opportunity. I'm going to open up the floor, if you will. But you all know what the word concise means? If you don't, I will teach you. I know what you're thinking. You don't know the word precise. You're long-winded every week. Hey, but that's okay. I'm the preacher. God is speaking. So you got to listen. But seriously, I'm gonna give people an opportunity. Just a couple of minutes each, not more. And there's a buzzer to be sounded. I'll be it if you go too long. But I know we've got praise reports in this room. And I want to take the opportunity for people, if you want, to share a praise report that you have right now. So, Tony, you go first. Concise.
I'm as long-winded as you are, but the Lord will make it concise. Mm. I woke up, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, and I was semi-paralyzed for a while. My legs started bleeding for a while. I had a bloody nose. Everything you've seen over the past couple of years happened all at once, and suddenly it stopped towards the evening. And I felt a great thirst, so I went to Walmart. And while in Walmart, I passed this young couple, and the Lord moved me to say what I usually say, good evening, God bless you, and the Lord be with you and all whom you love, serve, and support. And they smiled, and they repeated it to me, and we got to talking. We got to praying in the middle of the main aisle, and when I opened my eyes, there was a group of people praying with us.
Amen.
So you never know why things happen. But He does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trust in Him. Because the truth of the matter is, we cannot trust ourselves. Because the combined knowledge of all mankind, past, present, and to come, still is not a dot on the page of God's will.
Amen.
Amen.
God
Thank
bless you.
You
all.
God's moving. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Tony.
And it was concise.
Yes. I have been battling with one kidney for 47 years. And I was not directed correctly from many different doctors that never told me different things to do until about 10 years ago I met Dr. Ishak in Cartersville. I was taken to the hospital, and I was very badly dehydrated, and my function was 15. And on the chart, it says either removal or dialysis. So I said to them, we can't talk about removal, because there's only one. And we have to think about that. And they called in him, Dr. Ishak, because he's so very well known for kidneys. And 10 days later when I left, the function was 52. And over the years, it has gone up a little, gone down a little. And then I started researching everything I eat, everything I drink, to see what is harmful for the kidney. And 3 months ago I went, and they were very excited that it was 48. And I went the other day, and it went to 52.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am really blessed, and with everybody in this church and my family, I can't tell you how much this one little kidney is being blessed on. It's amazing, and I feel good, and I'll just keep on doing. And he wasn't there. He's out of the country visiting family for the week, for the holidays. But she said, when he goes, any of the doctors take over his patients, they write a note, and she said, I'm typing on the top of the paper that your function went to 53, Because I had told him then, one day I'm going to beat you with that 52. And she said, I'm going to type it. So when he looks at that, I know you're going to get a phone call. And he's a wonderful doctor. If you know anybody that has problems with their kidney, please, and you're in the area, go to him. He's just unbelievable. And he does not take no for an answer. I ask him, can I have this?
You told us, too, that the normal kidney function for someone's really only about 90, isn't it?
Yeah.
A so normal, you're over halfway back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Healthy, young person is around 90. As you get older, I think probably for years you stay pretty up to there. Then you start losing one point here and there every year. But she said, you already beat halfway. Look at your age. I'm going to be 82. Mm-hmm. And she said, look at your age. You've already beat halfway.
Amen.
And so it, with all the prayers and the really knowing about food and what potassium and sodium and all that, how harmful it is, you know.
But so she was dancing in the hospital.
Yeah.
Jennifer was there when she was visiting with Tom, and she said, Loretta, she texted me, Loretta just walked in, her kidney's up to 53. She wanted to call and tell you, and she's jumping up and down in here. So that's exciting. Thank you for sharing
that. Thank you all so much.
Barb, give us some news on Tom.
Well, I don't know what the updates are this morning. I called, but I didn't get an answer, so maybe he's out of problem somewhere. But y'all, I'm quite sure, know all the deal with the kidney cancer and the ICU and the this and that and all that kind of stuff here. He's now at a rehab where Jennifer's mother was.
No, my mom wasn't at that one.
Oh, she wasn't?
No.
Okay, well, Jennifer
went
and
real
I
good.
Went to check this
he's
place
real
out.
Good one.
Okay. And anyway, she has been a tremendous, not only help and friend and all that other stuff, and I don't want to cry too much, but she has been great through this whole thing. But anyway, now he's in the rehab therapy, and he kind of goes up and down. He likes the therapy part, but then when he goes back to the room and things are quiet here, he's not too excited about staying there. Yesterday, he found out, of course, that they don't do therapy on the weekends, and he was way down. Lady and I went to see him yesterday because they said we could bring in dogs, and we have lots of dogs and all this, but Lady's extremely verbal, as I'm quite sure that Jack knows this, and y'all know this, certainly. And I'm not sure she's going to be welcome back, so I hope that she is, because she is so bonded to him, and she is so good for him. So how in the world I'm going to keep her quiet without some kind of muzzle, I have no idea. That is a prayer, y'all. And with all kidding aside, that is a prayer. The other thing is, obviously with all of his stuff going on, is Friday. Baron Mark needs some prayers, if y'all don't mind. And certainly Baron Mark and then all the rest of the kids, because their father died in Mississippi. And so anyway, they're all there right now, and today's the viewing, tomorrow's the funeral. So I certainly ask for extra prayers for Baron Mark and actually the whole family. And I only know one of his daughters. I don't know both of them. Wished I did. But one of them, if I thought I could kidnap her and get away with her, I would, because she is great. She is. So there's a lot of good that comes out of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And the kids are very, very close, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well,
the Lord did that.
Yes, he did. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, there were moments we didn't know Tom was going to get to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in some bad spots, really bad spots. But God brought him from the fact that, you know, just to share this with you, He basically, because of an enzyme missing in his body, he OD'd on chemo.
Mm-hmm.
The chemo was not processing out like it does, because they give it to you daily. For 2 weeks, he was building it and building it and building it. And it did a number on his body.
Mm-hmm.
But when they finally got that resolved and got that chemo out, he was able to start recovering. But he couldn't eat because his mouth was so intense with massive sores through his mouth, his throat, down into his stomach, into his intestine, couldn't eat. But he's now past that. He's eating, which is a praise report.
He is.
And he's in a rehab facility. So God has moved on his behalf over these last 3 weeks through the prayer. And we all had that phone prayer. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was a wonderful
so
time for Tom.
So many people tell us about that.
Yeah. And so
God is moving. In the depths of all of this, and when it talks about, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to their his purpose. Mm-hmm. So in all of this trial, God was able to use the OD, the chemo OD. His cancer is all the way gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was that's the praise out of that.
Right.
It nearly killed him.
Yeah.
But God healed him.
Yeah. And it helped the doctor too, because she's that way she'll know to look for some more stuff.
Yeah.
Before she gives some kind of a chemo. Or at least while she's figuring out which chemo.
Yeah.
In fact, she sort of said that in a roundabout way. I don't know what her background or belief in God or any of that stuff, but Lord knows she's heard. Lord knows she's heard us.
Yeah.
Praise Him.
And in a sense, in one way, in spite of what the doctors messed up, in a lot of things they did, God moved.
Yes.
Right. You know, because doctors, they're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. It's on their thing, practicing physician.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God is bigger than them.
Amen.
And even when mistakes are made, when things aren't known, when things move forward, God still can intervene. This is a time that we have to praise. As we come into this new year, we can take this time to praise God. Yeah, the difficult seasons come, and we don't know all the outcomes. Had Tom not been healed and God taken him home, he would have gotten his ultimate healing. And I know that's an easy thing to say. It hurts when things like this take place, and we grieve. But we know God still, even in that, had his mercy. And so we praise him for what he does in the midst of these circumstances, even the things we don't understand. So just one more opportunity. Anybody else?
Can I just add one more thing?
And one more quick thing.
What Brady just said, if we take this, and one thing I said, but I didn't mean to gloss over, because this is the problem right now, the depression. The depression really, regardless of all those medicines, or no offense, Kayla, I'm checking Kayla out because I only believe her. But at any rate, all the medicines that they keep wanting to give him and all that kind of stuff for depression or whatever, that's his biggest problem. I am seeing, though, that God is in that, because of what I'm trying to tell him is, well, maybe the depression here is to get you to talk to him a little bit more, and then he'll heal you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, but he will.
Yeah. Well, God is working in every situation and in every way, and we just have to believe that. We put it in his hands. Even when we don't feel it, see it, or understand it, we see God's hand moving.
Great. So. I didn't mean heal him physically. He may, and that would mm-hmm. just be wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm talking about definitely emotionally right now. Mm-hmm. That's the healing.
And we're continuing to pray.
Thank you.
Continue to pray there. Anybody else? Before we, I'm going to close in one particular psalm I want to read. So, anybody else got a praise report? Ned?
I just want to praise the Lord for this body. Even though it's small, that this body, it does a lot. You know, I even want to even be thankful for the Moore family and the things that this body does for them. You know, I just praise the Lord that we can go to one another, even in our hurts, our sins, or whatever it takes for healing of this body. I just want to give thanks to the Lord for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to close with Psalm 148. I'm going to read this whole psalm. It's a short psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and cloud, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him, praise the Lord. Father, we do come in praise. We come with thanksgiving. Lord, we don't always understand everything. We don't always understand what's going on in these circumstances. And there are some hard ones. There are some hard ones that we don't want to go through. I would not be at all one to stand here and say we want to go through these things. But Lord, I do know that when they come, and they do, that we can praise you in the midst of them. In this psalm, you call creation itself to praise you. And it does. When you see the mountains and you see the trees and you see the blue skies and the oceans and all the water, Lord, we see, Lord, the creation praising you because it is just a wonderful thing that you made. We don't worship creation. We worship the Creator. But we can look at these things and say, wow, look what God did. And then we can look in these circumstances of our life and we can say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how it's going to work out. And it may not work out to my physical and mental well-pleasing, but it will be for the good because you love your people and you're here for your people. And you love your people. And Lord, we love you. And so we praise you today. May this day be the beginning of a new life resolution of praise and thanksgiving as we move forward in this new year. And we thank you and we praise you and we love you. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Marcia Quick, are y'all going to do the women's this next Sunday or next Saturday? Oh, that's right, the luncheon. That's right. Okay, so that's coming up next weekend. So may you all have a wonderful New Year celebration. Don't stay up too late. You know, then we have to sleep all day tomorrow and miss our whole day off. We have to go back to work. But have a blessed week, year, beginning as we go forward.
Don't you know it's time to praise the Lord? In the sanctuary of His Holy Spirit, so set your mind on Him and let your praise begin. And the glory of the Lord will fill this place. Praise the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord in the sanctuary of His Holy Spirit. So set your mind on Him and let your praise begin, and the glory of the Lord will fill. this place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have heard God's word. We have praised Him in song. We have shared sweet fellowship a few moments long as we leave this place in Jesus' tender care. We will share His love with people
song. We have shared sweet fellowship a few moments long as we leave this place in Jesus' tender care. We